Mike knew he had lost the bet when the stadium went silent around him. 3 seconds remained on the television clock. His team needed a field goal. The kicker slipped on clean turf, missed wide left, and stared at the goalposts as if they had betrayed him personally. Sarah lifted both arms from the far end of the couch. "Michelle," she said. Mike pointed at the screen. "That was weather. It is a dome. Emotional weather. A bet is a bet." They were 21, juniors, and too old to pretend they had not known the stakes. If Mike's team won, Sarah had to wear his ugly vintage jacket to 3 classes. If they lost, Mike had to attend her sorority formal as Michelle. The bet had been made over nachos, in front of witnesses, with the lazy confidence of people who assume embarrassment will remain theoretical. Now Sarah sat cross-legged on the couch, smiling like a lawyer. "You would not actually make me," Mike said. "I am not making you. I am honoring your commitment to sportsmanship." "That sounds worse." Mike was tall, broad-shouldered, and built from intramural football, cheap protein powder, and the habit of taking up doorways. He had curly brown hair, a dimple people trusted too quickly, and hands that never knew what to do with delicate objects. Most people on campus knew him as loud but harmless. Sarah knew he got quiet when something mattered. "You can pay the coward tax," she said. "What is the coward tax?" "You admit in the group chat that my team owns your soul." Mike imagined it. The chat would never recover. "Formal," he said. Sarah's smile changed. Less victory, more surprise. "Really?" "I made the bet." "You did." "I hate myself." "Healthy." The makeover happened in Sarah's dorm room the following Friday. Her roommate loaned a black dress. Sarah bought tights, flats, and a wig the color of dark honey. Mike insisted on no heels because he wanted to survive stairs. Sarah agreed because she valued intact ankles. "This is not drag brunch," Sarah said, clipping the wig back. "This is sorority formal camouflage. I feel like a witness in hiding." "Good." Witnesses blend. The dress fit better than either of them expected. That made the room go quiet for a moment. The black fabric sat cleanly over the padded bra Sarah had produced from a drawer with unnecessary confidence. The skirt ended above Mike's knees. Tights softened the hair on his legs. The wig changed his face before makeup did. Sarah stood behind him in the mirror. "Okay," she said. "Bad okay. Unexpected okay. That is worse." She did his makeup with concentration that made jokes difficult. Foundation, brows, mascara, a muted rose lipstick. When she finished, Mike stared at Michelle. Michelle looked nervous, pretty in a way he had not earned, and still exactly connected to him. The dimple remained, the shoulders remained, the eyes, though, looked less guarded. "Do not say anything sincere," Mike said. Sarah closed the makeup bag. "You clean up well." That was sincere adjacent. "Deal with it." The formal took place in a hotel ballroom with gold carpet and bad lighting. Mike expected laughter at the door. Instead, the check-in girl scanned Sarah's tickets and said, "You both look great." "Both." The word carried him halfway across the lobby. Inside, the room smelled of hairspray, cologne, chicken and cream sauce, and panic. Couples posed for photos near a balloon arch. A DJ tested bass levels. Sarah introduced Michelle to people who either knew the story and behaved well, or did not know and behaved better. For the first hour, Mike treated Michelle as a job. Small steps, smile. "Let Sarah order drinks. Do not scratch the wig. Do not sit like his uncle at a barbecue. Do not panic when someone says ladies." The job had more departments than he expected. There was the face department, which required smiling without looking like a hostage. There was the dress department, which involved keeping one hand near the skirt when sitting. There was the voice department, where every thank you came out either too deep or too theatrical. Worst of all was the attention department. Mike had been watched before. Football stands, pickup games, parties where someone wanted him to prove he could lift a couch, that kind of watching judged performance. Michelle was watched differently. People assessed the outfit, the walk, the body inside the outfit, the space she took near Sarah. Some looks were kind, some were curious. Some lingered too long, and then pretended they had not. "Is it always this much?" he asked Sarah, while they stood near the photo booth. "This much what?" "Being noticed." Sarah glanced at him, then at the room. "Depends on the room. Depends on the dress. Depends on whether men have had enough to drink. That is a terrible system." "Correct." Then a guy named Trevor asked Michelle to dance. Mike looked at Sarah for help. Sarah looked back with open delight and no mercy. "She would love to," Sarah said. "Sarah, sportsmanship." The dance floor had too much bass and not enough oxygen. Trevor talked while dancing, which helped, because silence would have required Mike to invent grace. Trevor was a sophomore in biology, liked bad horror movies, and had no sense of rhythm. Michelle learned this while counting steps and trying not to step on his shoes. "You here with Sarah?" Trevor asked. "Yes." "Cool. She's intense." "That is one word." Trevor laughed. "Good intense. Usually." The conversation should have been absurd. Instead, it became ordinary in pieces. Trevor asked whether Michelle liked the DJ. Michelle said the DJ feared transitions. Trevor agreed with solemn ignorance. When the song ended, he thanked her and did not touch her waist too long. That courtesy unsettled Mike more than the attention. Back at the table, Sarah handed him water. "You okay?" He was nice. That happens. I did not prepare for nice. Nobody does. Later, Michelle went to the restroom with Sarah and three other women. Mike expected exposure under the bright lights. What he got was a line, mirror crowding, lipstick reapplication, and a woman in a gold dress asking if anyone had a safety pin. Sarah produced one from her clutch. "Of course you have that," Michelle said. "I am not new." In the mirror, Michelle stood among them and did not vanish. She looked taller, broader, less polished, but no one asked her to justify the square of space she occupied. A girl beside her leaned close to fix mascara and said, "Your lipstick is holding better than mine." "Sarah did it," Michelle said. "Keeper," the girl said. Sarah looked down too quickly. That tiny movement followed Mike back to the ballroom. Trevor was polite, sweaty, and not very good at dancing. That helped. Mike could not worry about being graceful while avoiding Trevor's shoes. Halfway through the song, Trevor said, "I like your dress." "Thanks," Mike said, then remembered. "I mean, thank you." Trevor smiled. "You have a nice laugh." Mike did laugh then, because the whole situation had escaped the penalty box. Afterward, two more guys asked for Michelle's number. One girl complimented her lipstick. Sarah watched all of it with an expression Mike could not read. Near midnight, they stepped onto the hotel terrace for air. The city hummed below them. Mike's feet hurt. The wig itched. The dress no longer felt like punishment. That bothered him more than the guys asking for his number. "You okay?" Sarah asked. "No." "Bad no." "Complicated no." She leaned on the railing. "Tell me one part." Mike looked through the glass at the ballroom. People are nicer to Michelle and weirder to her at the same time. "Yes." Guys look at you like they are asking and taking at once. "Yes." I did not know how much work it is to keep smiling enough to stay safe, but not enough to invite a whole situation. Sarah's face softened. That is a very specific lesson for a football bet. I am uncomfortable with how educational this is. "Good." He looked at her. "You are not surprised? That women do math at parties?" "No." "That I do not hate all of this." Sarah paused. That was the first honest silence of the night. "I wondered," she said. "Before?" "During the makeover, you stopped joking for a while." Mike gripped the railing. "I don't know what it means." "You do not have to solve it before dessert." "There is dessert?" "There is always dessert." They went back inside. Michelle danced twice more, said no once, and meant it. Sarah stayed nearby without hovering. At 1, they walked back to campus under streetlights, shoes in hand, because Sarah had given up on her heels too. In Sarah's room, Mike removed the wig and makeup. Michelle disappeared in pieces, but not as cleanly as he expected. Sarah sat on the bed, quiet. "Are we laughing about this tomorrow?" Mike asked. "Only the funny parts." "Which are?" "You telling Trevor you had regional ankles." I panicked. "Clearly." He smiled, then looked at the dress folded over the chair. "Can I ask you not to post pictures yet?" "Of course. Not never, just not yet." Sarah nodded. "Your call." That answer changed the night more than any dance had. The bet ended there, technically. Something else did not. The next morning, Sarah texted him one photo. Michelle on the terrace, laughing at something just outside the frame. No caption, no pressure. Mike saved it. Then he put his phone face down and let the question remain alive. Practice was awful that afternoon. His legs worked, his hands caught passes. His coach yelled the usual things about focus and footwork. None of that was the problem. The problem was that his body had returned to its familiar shape and still carried the memory of the dress. Not in a mystical way, in details, the ache at the balls of his feet, the phantom brush of hair near his shoulders, the way he noticed guys shouting over each other in the locker room and wondered how often he had mistaken volume for confidence. When his teammate Ryan asked how the formal went, Mike almost told the old version. "Lost a bet. Looked ridiculous. Sarah owes me forever." Instead, he said, "It was more interesting than I expected." Ryan threw a towel at him. "That means she made you dance. Among other things. Pictures?" Mike's hand went to his phone. Sarah had asked nothing of him. That made the decision his. "Not yet," he said. Ryan shrugged and went back to complaining about drills. Mike sat there with the towel in his lap, surprised by how good "not yet" felt. It was not hiding exactly. It was keeping Michelle away from people who would flatten her into a joke before he understood why that bothered him. That night, he opened the photo again. He expected to study it for evidence against himself. Bad posture, wrong shoulders, wig too shiny, smile too large. Instead, he noticed Sarah in the corner of the frame, watching Michelle as if the laugh mattered. He texted her before he could turn cowardice into sleep. "Did you know it would be like that?" Sarah answered after 3 minutes. "No." Then, "I hoped you would stop treating it like losing." Mike stared at the sentence until the screen dimmed. He had treated the bet as punishment because that made the rules simple. Sarah wins, Mike suffers, everyone laughs, balance restored. But the night had refused that shape. It had given him discomfort, yes. Also kindness, also fear, also the strange private pleasure of being seen in a way he had not auditioned for. He typed, "I do not know what to do with the photo." Sarah replied, "You do not have to do anything with it tonight." That was becoming her most irritating gift, permission without instruction. 2 days later, Sarah came over to return his hoodie. She had washed it, folded it, and placed the formal photo on top. "Physical copy," she said, "in case phones get weird." Mike picked it up by the edges. "You printed this?" "At the library." The printer made her look slightly haunted, but in a flattering way. "You keep saying her." Sarah leaned against the doorframe. "Do you want me not to?" He looked at the photo. Michelle looked mid-laugh, one hand at her wig, Sarah beside her, with wind pulling hair across her face. "No," Mike said. "I think it helps." Sarah nodded. "Okay." Nothing romantic happened in the doorway. No confession, no kiss. The bet had already done enough damage to simple categories. She left him with the hoodie and the photograph. Mike put the photo inside a textbook, not hidden, not displayed. A page marker for something he was not finished reading.